There are a few that are written from him that is, you know, hired out here in prison. And so Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. So we're just going to go ahead and go in that order. So the next book we're going to go to next week will be Philippians. So if you guys want to read ahead, that would be fine. As we finish up Ephesians today, we're going to look at the armor. I think what can happen at times is mankind can focus too much on the armor and where it's at and not the essence of what we're talking about. Okay? So there's a purpose behind the armor. There's a purpose behind it. And then instead of looking at where it's at on the body, I want us to focus on what it actually is. Okay, what it actually is. We'll look at that here in a little bit. So what's the purpose? We'll look at that here in a second. So Ephesians chapter 6. Let's go down to verse number 10. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So we'll stop right there. Verses 11 and 13 tell us the purpose of the armor. Now remember, this is only given to the Ephesians. So let's just stay in the book of Ephesians today. If all I had was this letter, okay, written to me 2,000 years ago at Ephesus, what can I take from it? Okay? So here's the purpose, that you may be able to stand against the devil and be able to resist in the evil day. Okay? So there's a purpose behind that. There's a purpose behind the armor. Okay? And we're going to look at what they're putting on. What they're putting on. So if I'm putting something on, if I'm going to stand against the schemes, the trickery of the devil, if I'm going to be able to resist him in the evil day, which the evil day I think is every day Satan attacks us, which is real, don't overlook that, all right? It's going to happen. When I see the armor, I'm armored up in areas I can go the opposite way. I'm protecting areas where I'm going to be attacked. So we'll go into them a little bit, but I want to make sure I'm really hammering this home. So I'm going to stand against the schemes of the devil. What kind of trickery? Trickery against truth. Trickery against righteousness. So to be unrighteous. Trickery against the gospel of peace. False doctrine. Trickery against faith. Don't believe. Trickery against salvation. God has known you. And we're going to look in the book of Ephesus and see the opposite of these six items that we're armoring ourselves with. Mainly the Ephesians, right? In the context, we're going to look at how the Ephesian believers were to protect themselves against trickery and to resist when things are attacked. There's a purpose. So I'm armoring myself up in areas that I can go the opposite way. Are we good? Okay. So I'm not going to focus a whole lot today on where the armor is at. I'm going to focus on the purpose, the opposite of these things, and I'll show you in Ephesians where it's at, and I'll show you why these are important. And I want us to notice, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, I'm going to. These two are the same. Truth and the Word of God, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, are protecting the middle. All right? The top. top and the bottom are the same. God's word and truth are the same. And they're holding the middle together. Okay? All right, here we go. All right, verse 14, stand therefore. So this standing is in a stance, in a position to go offensive. I'm standing to get ready to move, right? Stand therefore. All those in the military know what that is, right? Hurry up and wait. Stand therefore, having your waist girded about with truth. So what is truth? We'll stop right there. I'll actually use my notes today. So my waist girded about with truth, what I want us to focus on is truth. John 1:17, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Actually, let's go before that. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. We'll stay in the context for a minute. Ephesians 4, 14. Truth. Ephesians 4, 14. We have the gifts being given. So the body is building itself up, verse 14, so that we may no longer be children tossed here and there by waves carried about with every wind of doctrine, the trickery of men, by craftiness with deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love. So truth has already been explained to Ephesus, right? Truth. So truth is already on their mind. They know what to do with that truth, to speak the truth in love. Now the source of truth is Jesus. Okay, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man come to the Father but by me. John 14, Jesus said that the Spirit of truth will come when I go. 1 Timothy, Paul says the church, which are believers, you don't go to church, you are the church. The church is the pillar and ground of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, rightly dividing the word of truth. So truth is massive. Truth is huge. The Ephesians know truth. They're to speak the truth in love. Okay? They were taught some things at Ephesus that were not true. We'll go into that when we go more into these other ones here. But there were some things that were not true that they had to go opposite with. And they talked about in Ephesians renewing their mind to renovate. You have to strip out the old. That's not all you do. You have to replace it with new. Right? New things have to go into your renovated mind. It has to happen. Truth is Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, the blessings there, they're holy and blameless in love. The believers there are adopted. They're going to get a new glorified body. They're in Him, which is redemption, forgiveness of sins. Okay, truth is the mystery to unite all things in Christ. They've received an inheritance. They're for the praise of His glory. They're a seal of the Holy Spirit of promise. They have a guarantee of their inheritance. Those things are true. What's not true? What's not true? Jesus says in John 8:44 that there is no truth in Satan. That's why they have to have truth. To understand, here's the things that are true, so I can understand and see what isn't true. We had this a lot in prison ministry. I preached in prison for years. In prison, there's so many things. The guys, and I don't blame them, but the only way to get out of their cell is to go to religious groups, right? So they go to the religious group sessions, and they're hearing all kinds of things that are not true, right? And so what happens is they start studying about religions. They get books called, like, Kingdom of the Cults, and they start reading about cults. I tell them, stop. You learn the truth of Scripture, and the byproduct will be, I'll know what isn't true. Because anything untrue is of Satan. There is no truth in him. So I don't need to really dive into Mormons, Jehovah's Witness, or this, that, or the other. And when I understand the truth in Jesus and scriptural truths, I'll be able to see things that are not true. That makes sense what I'm saying? Yeah. Romans 1 tells us that there are wicked men who suppress the truth. There is no truth in them, not just men in general. Romans 1 is talking about all men. It's men who say in their heart, there is no God, who suppress the truth and live ungodly. Not all men do that. Not everyone does that. Only certain groups. There are certain men who are evil and wicked, who say there is no God, and who suppress the truth. They live ungodly lifestyles. Truth is very, very important. So important, it's mentioned twice. The Word of God, which we'll get to that at the end, and truth, the same thing. And the truth, the Word, which we'll do a lot of going back and forth, but the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, John 1 says. The Word created the heavens and the earth. We'll get more of that in Colossians chapter 1. Jesus Christ is truth. Jesus Christ is the Word. He is keeping everything in line. Truth. Very important. Again, I don't want to focus so much on where it's at in the body as much as what are the key items. Truth. The next one we see here, moving on down. Ephesians chapter 6. Okay, stand therefore, verse 14, having your waist girded with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So we have righteousness. Righteousness is the equity of God's character. I have God's character in me. I think people oftentimes mistake holiness and righteousness. Holiness means to be separated for a specific purpose. Righteousness is having God's attributes coming out of my body. Right? That's righteous. Okay, I have the ability to do a good acts. Okay, moral, God's character. Okay, God's character here, righteousness. So let's look at what's unrighteous. So if I have to protect myself, if I have to give detailed things to the Ephesian believers, okay, so we saw what wasn't truth in Ephesians chapter 4. We saw that Satan, there's no truth in him, right? So now, if I have to protect righteousness, what is now unrighteous in Ephesus, in this book, that they would go, oh, okay. We see it here in Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 17. Ephesians 4, 17. What does unrighteousness look like that I would need to have on a breastplate of righteousness to have, to protect this? 4:17. Therefore, this I say and testify in the Lord, that from now on you walk not as other Gentiles walk, here it is, in the vanity of their minds, having their understanding darkened, excluded from the life of God through the ignorance that's within them, due to the hardness of their hearts being calloused. They have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. This is unrighteous. But you do not learn about Christ in this manner, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in who? Jesus. We just talked about truth, right? The truth is in Jesus. We're seeing what unrighteousness looks like. Okay? That you put off the former way of life and the old nature, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And then you put on the new nature, which is created according to God, in righteousness and true holiness. So me being born again into God's family, me receiving Christ, I receive his righteousness. It's not mine. But I am now righteous. I'm no longer a sinner. I am a saint that commits acts of sin. Sinners are those who are unsaved. A saint commits acts of sin. I have the... Am I losing you guys? Am I going too deep? All right, because you guys are really focused right now. I just want to make sure I'm not going too fast. I receive Christ's righteousness to now be able to live that out. What's going to happen is I'm going to be attacked in the evil day and trickery of scheming to be unrighteous. Your position is righteous. You're going to want, or the Ephesians are going to want to do this. Verse 25. Therefore, put away lying. Let every man speak truthfully with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but don't sin. Do not let the sun go down upon your wrath, or your anger. Do not give place to the devil. Let him who steals, steal no more. Instead, let him labor, working with his hands, things which are good, that he may have something to share with him who is in need. Let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good for the building up of the body, for the listeners. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Ready? Here's some more unrighteousness. Verse 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, outbursts, blasphemies, with all malice, be taken away from you. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you. So those things are unrighteous. I'm getting armor on to protect the righteousness that's within me. Pretty cool, isn't it? Really cool. So now we're going to get some context of what the Ephesians are to be protected from. It's the opposite, the things that are untrue, the things that are unrighteous, things that are not the gospel, things that are unfaith, not believing, things that go against salvation, things that go against God's word. They're all in Ephesus. They're all in this letter. Okay? So I think that's the opposite of those things, these six items, they're to protect themselves against. All right, number next. We see as we go on down in Ephesians chapter 6. Having your feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. Okay? The gospel of peace. In Ephesus here, if we go to Ephesians chapter 2, so they are to protect their feet to be ready to go. Now, as they go and tell people about the gospel of peace, doesn't mean that everyone they share the gospel with is going to get saved. They're to be ready. Oh, we're good. Thank you. They're to be ready to give the gospel out. The gospel brings peace. There's two types of people in the world. Saved and unsaved. Saved and unsaved. Which people? There's peace of God and peace with God. Peace with God means that I am born again. Not everyone has peace with God. They're not saved. They don't have the gospel of peace. Peace of God is when I'm going through a tough circumstance and I get God's comfort. I get God's peace. I'm not anxious. See the difference? All right. Gospel of peace. Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse number 1. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1. And you, the Ephesians, were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the age of this world, and according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we all also once lived in the lusts of our flesh, doing the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. So Paul, as a Jew, is saying, we were all like this, just like you Gentile people that did not have the gospel. But something happened. Something happened. Ready? Verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. and raised us up and seated us together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, from the coming ages he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And it's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, so that no one should boast. That is the gospel of peace. We see here that there was a time when they were outside the gospel. When Paul came there to them, he gave them the good news of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection. They received Jesus, and now they're in Christ. Paul was ready to give the gospel of peace. And now he's telling them, you guys be ready to share with others the same thing I told you. Because there's a time when you are dead in trespasses and sins. You are dead in sin, you're not born again, and you're on your way to an eternal hell. That's not... I'll skip that for later. So now moving forward, how do people get to heaven? And how do they know about Jesus? We have to tell them, right? We have to tell them. There are no visions of people having visions of God and getting saved. No one's having visions of God getting saved. It's not God's method. God's method is for humans who are saved to share it, to be ready with the gospel of peace. Okay? Number next, faith. We'll see here in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15, having your feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the fiery arrows of the evil one. So again, the purpose, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil, that you can resist him in the evil day, which is the day that he's going to attack you. Here's the purpose. Okay, so now we have the shield of faith, which we'll see this in Ephesians chapter 3, and verse number 7. Ephesians 3, 7, of this I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power to me, the very least of all saints. This grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the incomprehensible riches of Christ and to reveal for all people what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages was hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, so that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church, the principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he completed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here it is, verse 12. In whom we have boldness and confidence and access through faith in him. Therefore, I ask you to not lose heart of my tribulations for you, which is for your glory. So by faith, I have access to Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through what? Faith, believing. I have to believe that I can go to God, Jesus Christ, at any time. I have to believe that. I have to believe that God has my best interest. All the blessings in Ephesians 1, I have to believe. If I'm in Christ, I have to believe that. It means I can't get out of them. If I have an inheritance, I have to believe that. Okay? Because belief and salvation will go together. I have to believe. This salvation isn't just, you know, accepting Christ as my Savior. It's a salvation that says that I will be going to heaven. I will be with Christ. Something happened when I received Christ. I believed, I received. The Holy Spirit came in me and sealed me until I sin again and goes away. Yeah. No. You are sealed until the day that you're redeemed. That means you cannot sin your way out of Jesus. I have to believe that. If I don't believe my position, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to start doubting. And as I start that trail of doubting, I'm going to get discouraged. And as I start down that trail of discouragement and get even further down, I will eventually get defeated. Doubt will lead to discouragement. If I stay there too long, discouragement, I'll feel defeated. And when someone feels defeated, they are lacking faith. They're lacking faith. And when someone feels defeated, I guarantee you, they are not living and behaving like a born-again believer. They're not. We have to believe the things that are told to us. And the only way, well, I'm getting ahead of myself, so I'll do it anyway. The only way I can believe what's told to me is to know the truth and to know the word. If you're not in here, you won't know what to believe. You'll stop believing your feelings, and good night, your feelings are horrible. They'll lead you astray. Most of the time, the truth will pierce through what you're feeling. When I understand truth, what I will feel will be joy. When I understand God's word, I can have joy and encouragement even when my circumstance is bad and negative. Even when I'm in the hospital, even when I hear bad news, even when I'm going through a tough time. But if I don't go to God's truth and God's word, if I don't believe things I should be believing, I'll start trusting in my feelings, and my feelings will send me tail spinning out into no man's land. And I will be giving in to the things I'm supposed to be standing up against. Number next, salvation. Ephesians 6, verse 17, take the helmet of salvation. Now, there is salvation in Jesus Christ, yes. There is that. But also, what else are they going to be saved from? Themselves. I think the number one enemy Satan uses is your flesh. Again, the world, flesh, and devil are three enemies, and they're outside forces coming to you, and you think it's your own. You know, we say you're your own worst enemy. Well, it's not you, because you are perfect in Christ, so it can't be you. Your thought patterns that you've developed from outside environment is what's trained your mind to kick and go back against God's truth, God's word, faith, believing, righteousness. So it's not you. It's an outside force tempting you to go against that. I have to believe that I am saved. I am born again. If you don't have salvation nailed down, holy smokes, you're going to be a mess. If you don't know for sure heaven's your home and you're not secure in that, you'll be up, down, left, right, in, out, tail spinning. But it's also believing that I am saved and that God has a purpose for me. I'm valued in Christ. I have significance in Christ. I have purpose and meaning in Christ. That's salvation also. It's saving me from me. And what I'm thinking I'm here for, what I think is my purpose in life, what I think I should be doing. And if you notice, when people have an idea of what they should be doing, it's usually for their self-gratification and nothing for the Lord. They'll try and sprinkle in, well, when I'm there and I'm here and I'm there and I do this and I do that, I talk about God. It's not for God, though, and your subconscious knows that. It's for you. You get pleasure out of it, which is not necessarily in itself bad. But I got to be careful on why I'm here. Why I'm here. Salvation, being born again. There's a purpose behind that. Last one. Ready? You guys are doing a good job. Keep it up. We see here, 17, helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Notice whose sword it is. It's a spirit sword. It's a spirit sword. A sword is an offensive weapon that the spirit uses. So I need to be in tune with God's spirit in me, correct? So that when I go offensive, I'm not offending. I can speak the truth in love. The spirit sword, what does the spirit use? He uses God's word. So if I say anything, right, I have to make sure that I'm in tune with God's spirit so I'm not using God's truth in the wrong way and causing damage, making it harder for those that are trying to do good, do good. How many of us in here, time wouldn't even allow for the stories where people talk about people who have been hurt by someone who has used God's word to hurt them. We've all been around that. We've all been around people that have said, man, this Christian said that, this Christian said this, this church said that, they did this, they did that. It's very, very hurtful. And you almost feel helpless because you just sit there and say, hey, I'm sorry that happened. That's not the truth. I'm sorry they viewed that way and said that to you. That's not true. Here's what the Bible says. Now you have to work overtime to try and help someone overcome the damage someone used by using God's word, but it wasn't done in love. Amazing, isn't it? I have to know the truth. I have to know God's word so that when something happens, I know how to go on the offensive. The sword is an offensive weapon. Jesus showed that when he was being tempted. Right? When he was being tempted. Jesus showed when Satan tempted three times, what did he say? What?
It is written.
It is written. If you're not in your Bible, you won't know what's written. If you're not in your Bible studying and wanting to understand, and it's not... I won't say that. It's, these two things are sandwiched in between this. You want to be stable here, Ephesians. You want to be stable here, young believers in Christ. You want to be stable here, Ephesus. Then you need to surround it with truth and God's word. Because truth and God's word are going to help you understand what is righteous, what is the gospel of peace, what is faith, and what is salvation. What am I even putting that in? I need something to look at. And Ephesus has it written down on what this looks like. We went over those verses already. You ever notice people that don't know the truth or God's word very well? There is a time for this, right? It's called being a young believer in Christ. But we can't stay there. What got us to where I'm at won't get us to where I need to go. It won't. You hear some of the silliest things by people when someone needs something from the Lord, someone needs a word of encouragement or something, someone needs God's truth to help them, someone's doubting, someone's living unrighteously, someone might even be saved, someone might need to understand what they're saved from. Let go and let God.
Oh my goodness.
Just trust God.
Oh my.
I can't stand stuff like that. There is nothing there. There's nothing in let go, let God. There's nothing in we'll just trust the Lord. There's nothing in where God has a plan. There's nothing there. People need believers to know the truth in God's word so they can say, hey, here's what righteousness is. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17. Let's look at that. Bingo. They need to see, here's what the gospel really is. Not believing in God. Believing in God will get you to hell in a handbasket. It's believing in Jesus Christ and the death, burial, and resurrection. This is what we're up against to people who go to church for 20, 30, 40 years. They're out there wanting to be used by God, but they're not knowing how to be used by God because they don't know truth or the word of God. They think that coming to church is just all they need. And thank God we don't believe that, do we? Praise the Lord. We're deeper than that. So when someone needs help, not just yourself, to stand against the schemes of the devil, when someone needs help to be able to resist Satan, we need to be prepared and armored up with this to be helpful. We need to be here. Yes, it was for the Ephesian believers at their time when they were going through, but I'm pretty confident that we need to step here with us as well. And we have the whole Word of God. We have it all. All they had was one book. All they had was one letter. Think about how more effective we can be, because we have more truth, more the Word of God. We know more about righteousness and peace and faith and salvation than they do, because we have more letters. There's a purpose for the armor. It's right there. It's to guard ourselves from things that are not true, from things that are unrighteous, from the false gospel, from not believing, lacking faith, to not understanding what salvation is, and what things are not true of God's word. Don't worry about where the armor is at. Worry about what the truth is trying to get across, and look at what's in the middle of two things. They're the same thing. Truth and God's word are the same. The beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, are the two main things I need to get my sources from to help the middle. See how that works? Don't you love it when it's so simple like that? I love it when it's so simple like that. It is laid out. Boom, 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 boom. Makes you want to wish that Paul always wrote that way. Sometimes look at things and go, I have no idea what you're saying, Paul. I don't get it. But this we get. Here's the armor. Here's what it's for. Here's when to use it. Right? Here's when to use it. And you can help others use the same thing. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful and thankful for your love and your grace and your truth. Lord, there's a purpose behind this armor, behind these items of great value, that we can stand against the schemes of the devil, that we can resist him on the evil day. Lord, and it's written word, it's a behavior, it's things that we can achieve, that we have in us right now. And Lord, I pray for all of us, including myself, that we would hunger and thirst for truth and your word. As we understand your truth, we'll understand true righteousness. The gospel of peace, we'll understand what to have faith in. We'll understand what salvation truly means, and we'll learn how to use your word, Lord, appropriately on the offense for any given situation. And thank you again for this book, all the wonderful in-depth truths that are in there. It feels like gold, Lord, and just the things that are so rich in value. Allow our hearts and minds to meditate and focus on the truths we've learned in this book. Prepare our hearts for something new in Philippians starting next week. Ultimately, Lord, we want to be renewed in your image and be walking, talking Christ for your honor, for your glory. Bless our day, the baby shower to follow, and let it be done for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.